How is this feeling to invite you fully, fully in my being? You are my being. But to invite you in all the aspects of my life, because I see some, like, in some activity or in some aspect, I feel as if I'm by myself and I have to work it out by myself. And I know this is not true, and I feel so much to invite you fully, fully, fully.
Yeah. Because the reference to yourself, sorry, I think we're blocking.
No, that's okay.
The reference to yourself is being shaped in personhood, no? When you speak like that.
Yes.
But so that sense of a personal self needs help always, because it's an identity that's created through the mind and through conditioning, through identity. And you know, for most people in the world, they are not aware of an option. When they say I, it refers to a personal self. And nobody encourages us to look more deeply into that. So for most people on the planet in our time, their sense of self is very, very personal. And although in reality it is not, but experientially unto themselves, they take themselves to be just a person, which is a concept shaped in the mind. They are not that. Actually, we are the pure universal consciousness. When it becomes clear, and for some reason, you, when I meet you, anyone who come to satsang, I did not come to anyone in an individual way, oh, you come, I want to be... No, so we met like this, you came, so already for me, it's like the universal consciousness is behaving like that. It's bringing the sense of individuality together, and I know it can only be to wake up to its original nature, so that it's no longer covered. To get out of this covered reality into your natural state. So that's already confidence is there, because nobody else is coming like that. Most people you meet in the world, they don't manifest any real sense that they are aware of themselves at a deeper level. So of course I don't push them away. Of course I meet as you can, you know. What happens very often is I have total trust that whatever encounter I have, even with the animal, you know, it is driven by the universal consciousness. We don't have to overanalyze that. The faith in that is already enough, and it makes the space to impart grace everywhere. You know, happen like that. You know? Satsang is very unusual. When we are many people in the world are meeting for spiritual reasons. If you take the various religions, Christianity, Islam, the religions of India, Buddhism, Sikhism, all these things, there are people on a search spiritual journey also. So these are already millions of people are doing. But the majority are searching with a strong sense of individual identity, of personhood. The best we can do in our personal search, because we have a strong sense of identity as a person, and so we are introduced to a God who is the highest person in our mind. is like God, for most people, is regarded as an entity, like the supreme entity. And the supreme consciousness manifests also as the supreme entity to suit whatever religious projections we have about it, because it's also an aspect of love. But when we come to search for truth, all human beings, nearly all of us, we follow some categorization. We have a sense of ourself, of your gender, of your race, of your religion, of your culture, of something. These attributes we hold to be important for our identity. But a sage is beyond all these things. Superficially, they may dress like a Muslim or a Hindu or Christian or atheist, even they can dress anyway. But internally, they have come into wholeness, into universal consciousness.
Yes.
Yes.
This wholeness, I invite.
Yes.
I mean, there is not. I'm not separate from it to invite it, but where, in some aspects, I feel a shrinking of.
Like yes.
Shrinking a person, and that's yeah. where. Just to.
Yes. And that being so for all of us, because mm-hmm. even a sage is aware of a sense of a personal self. They may have a family, they may have a job, and they are functioning in those jobs. So what is the difference? Is that they don't feel, I have to get rid of these things or something. They don't have an issue with them. The issue is only to do with identity. If they are living on the basis of personal identity, then they will be living in a much more complex inner environment. But they have solved the mystery of personhood to realize that there's not really, in reality, the person is only a very superficial idea. They have come into the realization of the unchanging consciousness. And I feel blessed in realizing that everyone is it. There's nobody is not it. Everybody is the universal consciousness. But it's to be aware of this, not just mentally, not just conceptually, but to transition into that consciousness. So it's okay for us to say, I am personal and I'm impersonal. You see? As I said before, a realized being may still relate to their family and say, they know it's not like it doesn't exist. The people who say, oh, nothing, no, it doesn't exist like this, in a dismissive way, are still not awake about it. They say, no, it's existing, but it's a kind of temporary and illusory existence. Even the sense of myself as a person is still an illusory existence. What knows that is my true self. And what knows that, when I say my true self, I'm not having an idea of my true self elsewhere. It is here. And it is true for everyone. It's not we are so unique. Maybe the uniqueness is only that you have transcended the mirage, the illusory world of personhood. To wake up out of that is the most amazingly beautiful thing. I wouldn't even call it an experience, because all experiences happen and come and go. So I don't know what to call it, truth, you know. And so what you're asking is totally relatable. And it is totally the questions that all the sages asked. They had to start there, you see, to ask, you know, I feel so, I'm aware of the limitations of a personal self. And something is struggling to come out of this. And they may ask depending on who, and everyone is moving in accordance to their destiny. Destiny is not, no matter what your destiny, you're still under the presence of God. And through whatever seeming destiny you have is the path through which He will guide you back to yourself, to be uncovered from the conceptual identities and so on. So your question, or your request, when it comes genuinely from the heart, let you know. Because how can it become genuine? Also by God's grace, will give, make you genuine. And it can be looked at that your soul is in a journey of shedding, getting rid of its illusory dream self. And that is satsang, that is a sadhana, to wake up out of the limitation of personhood. It has to be happening. And the paradox can be that when you come into the living opportunity, then all kind of negativities are coming up. And so it's important what a teacher can do is to tell you, don't believe that these negativities are judgments against you. They are a form of release, because we have forgotten how much toxic energies and information comes in with the person. And our personal, the story of your life in this form might be 30, 40, 50 years. But the journey of your soul is far beyond the limitations, the time frame of your body. So for a long time we have somehow been living in the role of some identity for a while, becoming each lifetime or in a life form is given in some way, we can say loosely, to process and to learn to transcend a bundle of vasanas. You understand vasanas?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, some latent tendencies, some dormant tendencies, to kind of clean them. Which, as you clean them, yeah, some other ones come. They're not necessarily new, but they come. And so we're always cleaning. And each time the consciousness is becoming more pure, more pure, more pure, more pure, like you're dropping the weight, becoming more pure. But still, you can transcend many things and still remain in the paradigm of personhood. You become a blessed person, you know.
But like all this transcending or cleansing is also seen at the same time. It's like something, yes, is evolving and something.
We cannot totally trust that seeing, because there are many things that are functioning in our lives that we are not conscious of it. You understand? We seem to feel like we have an understanding of something. But when real understanding comes, you realize, whoa, there was so much the hidden things.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So it's grace of God. When we pray, now recently I've been sharing that, you know, two things. One is that for most people we have a sense of ourselves as an entity. No? That I'm this person, this is my body, and our attachments to our conditioning, our identity, our projections and dreams and all of that constitute a kind of like a, like it makes like we are solid in the form of our beliefs and shape and identity like that. But largely we are suffering from a lack of awareness of what we truly are. We have some awareness, but it's tarnished by, you know, conditioning, habit, arrogance, ignorance, you know? So we don't, our pictures are not clear like that. And that's why the grace of God is so important, you know. But it comes with humility. It comes also through trying and failing and realizing that by your ego's ability is not enough. I used to say many years ago that this whole human world concept, it really doesn't work by itself. It only works when it wakes up in connection with the Supreme Consciousness. Otherwise it's just rolling downhill. When it connects consciously, then it wakes up. Now I want to say something that might sound a bit unusual, because human being is not a reality. The reality is our pure consciousness, unaware of our true nature. So a human being cannot overcome human being, meaning the limitations of. We may try to overcome by brutality and force, but that's not overcoming. We become more stuck. So there's nothing anyone can do to surprise God. There's no original thought. And so there's no God saying, "Oh God, I didn't know that they would do that." There's no such thing. This is a human identity, idea. All of the book of existence, the living book of existence, the one author is the Supreme. But the Supreme can be conceived of as an entity like the great God. It manifests like this also, the great God. But every doctrine has a different idea about God. Even within its own collective doctrine, there'll be variation depending upon the way that your being has functioned. So no one can know God like that. We may have your heart, your devotion, your love, your yearning makes you more pure and brings you more into the realm of God understanding like that. I'm saying this because I would like that you open up enough to understand that everything in the universe is like, I gave an example, a writer writes a book. I've said this example before. A writer has written a book, and it's a great book. It's got many different characters in it. They all are different. They all play a different role. And some are really nasty and horrible and vicious, and some are wonderful and kind and loving and sociable. And they're all so many, so diverse. And everything in the book, the good guys, the bad guys, the boring guys, the exciting people, the wonderful things, the action, everything in the book, although they seem so different in character, all come out of the same pen of the same one author is writing them. No character in the book can say, "Listen, guys, we don't like this story, but don't let the author know. We're not going to show up in the next chapter. We are going to protest. We want things to be different." Okay, if that's in the book, it's by the author's creativity. It's a way of looking, you know, just to show that nothing, there's no one living, hiding from God. That's also his writing. He's writing this book. In the book of creation, on every level of the manifest world, of the physical and the non-physical realm, of any part of the universe, is penned by God, meaning everything is manifestation. If you understand that, then it will save you from really the effects of delusion, because you just kind of know God knows. If you know that, then you will realize you can never really be lost. And when you realize you can never really be lost, your salvation is at hand. You understand? It is not enough by itself, because you cannot know things intellectually and they become real enough. They have to be experiential. Means that what you think you know is not enough. The highest knowledge really is to see that nothing exists in your world independent of your consciousness. You are the witness of everything that's arising. Even if you think it's happening over there to these people, it's still in your consciousness. It's appearing. If you realize that whatever manifests through the mind and the senses are phenomenal, meaning that they have no independent or lasting existence. They're only appearances, they're only effects in consciousness, and the weakness of them is apart from them. And that weakness is yourself. That's not theoretical. It must become obvious. And when it becomes obvious, it's like these things will not entrap you. For a while, your life on its personal level of manifestation may still feel, oh, but why did this still happen, and so on. But at some point you're going to see everything that arises in you is weakness in you. When you realize that the weakness is not a person, the person is weakness. And what is weaknessing you? It cannot be said. You can say it's consciousness or whatever, but you come to see it must be me, but not the personal me. You see? So the most important character is this which vibrates in the identity of I. You have to take the I beyond the limitations of a personal identity into like the uninvolved weakness. And the uninvolved weakness, you'll come to see that it's not an entity, it's like it's consciousness. And this is gradually happening. I can only try and make that more clear. And then on top of that, if you ask in your heart, then as you did, please help me to go beyond the grip of the psychological identity. You've asked that because consciousness has opened that up inside you. And then in my heart, I feel it inside, so be it. So be it. And it will take it time to continue now. Percolating, continue. Little bit by little bit, it becomes more clear, something in the mind, and you say, you offer this up. You can see that this becomes more clear. Recently, we've been asking in satsang that before, when we sit, before the deep contemplation, in the just be exercise, I've been saying, make this prayer that you ask God, please scan me. You're asking this, but by God's grace, you're fit enough to realize and to ask this. Please scan my being, and please dissolve or delete the message in me that is still alive, that is bearing and creating fruits of suffering, sinfulness, confusion, depression, anxiety, whatever it is that is manifesting those things. I offer these up for them to be transcended or dissolved or to delete them. That's a conscious prayer, you see. Once you do this, then by God's grace will start to come. You start to recognize, you start to see the things that you were not seeing before. And then you can consciously offer this thing. I offer this thing. And so gradually the fingerprint of that message gets gradually erased out. And that can keep going on. Something gets more and more purified as you go. No? Just purifying, purifying. Mm. But then when you come to the exercise, the power of the exercise is that it is non-conceptual. Many things you think about myself, oh, I'm so impatient, and I wish I could be more kind, I wish I would give more. These are all personal requests. Ultimately, they are kind of illusory also. So are you in the mode of a personhood. But it's very difficult for human culture to accept that I'm illusory. How can I be? I'm here. Mm-hmm. So it's a gradual cleaning that you can comprehend these things and see. It can be seen. So if a sense of I is polluted, then still a sense of I is aware of that pollution, and that I must be beyond that. You see, like this gradually. All this work is happening by grace. You can say the grace of God or the grace of your true self is coming. It's the same thing. So, in the exercise, say, let's start with just letting go of everything. And don't say destroy anything, just say let go, mean become detached of all things. You'll be surprised at how simple it can be. You don't have to analyze or this thing, no, just everything. Everything that manifests is illusory, even the idea you have of yourself. Just don't hold on to anything. It's like somebody say to you, you go and sit over there and just keep quiet, don't mix with anybody. And you feel, thank you, and you go. You let go of all your associations, all that's arising in the mind. Maybe you can't stop it, but as it comes, you just say, okay, I won't log into the energy of it. And you may have to try a few times, but little by little bit, you're coming out of it. You're coming out of the state of delusion. So let go of everything, okay? Let go of everything, including the idea, your favorite idea about yourself, or your not very favorite idea about yourself. Everything, just let go, let go, let go. As though there was like some psychic hole was made in your body, and everything you've learned, just go. Everything was drained away. Everything that you have learned or understood or misunderstood, every idea, every identity was kind of like just left. You will still find something here that cannot be taken out. It is not personal. Totally empty, intentionally also. What is that? Unmixed. That is the consciousness. That's the root of all experiencing. Consciousness. It is consciousness that arises as the sense I am. And so the name, the sense I am, is the intuitive name of consciousness. When I say, that if a being came to you and say, I favor you, ask of me anything in the whole world and I can give it to you right now. And you ask them, what will it cost me? He says, All you can have, everything, in exchange for your consciousness. Then you'll see that is complete nonsense. Because without consciousness, I cannot even be aware of myself. I cannot be aware of my own existence. I say this because consciousness is at the root. If everything is lost or everything is found, it does not make any difference to consciousness. It's pure consciousness. When you say, I am, the real significance is consciousness, or the sense of beingness. That's an intuition that doesn't belong, is not associated with anything. It's beyond the concepts of parents and friends and religion and last year and next year and heaven and hell and all of these things, and Muslim and Hindu and Christian and all of these things. It has none of these things is beyond. It's pure, pure, unpolluted presence of God. That is what is there. The rest is what we entertain through culture and the basic root identity, which is the belief, I am this body, I am my culture, these are my parents, these are my friends, this is my education, these are my dreams, and all of this. When we are very much strong in this conviction, like that, then we are locked in ignorance. This knowledge that I'm sharing you is not easily acceptable in the world. Because most beings, although fundamentally they are pure consciousness, one day you'll come to see that only God exists. There's no such thing as independent, separate persons. Only God exists. So what does it mean? All these forms will disappear? No. The belief in their separateness will disappear. When your eyes are open like this. In the meantime, we have actions, reactions, interactions happening. But something is outside of them, beyond them. It watches them with detachment. And you may think, what's the point of watching all this richness of life with detachment? Why? Because it is the root, it generates all the energy in life comes from him. Yet he loses nothing at all. Just like if I ask you, give me a replay of yesterday, you may think, oh my God, where would I start? Oh, it's just a mess. Because yesterday at 10 o'clock I was thinking like this, by 11 o'clock it was completely different. I can't remember what it was. Nothing is stable except the consciousness, which the consciousness without a story. Now, in our world, we are accustomed to having a particular kind of story, a particular kind of adventure, seeking different to fulfill our projections and so on like that. So we cannot appreciate pure consciousness. Pure consciousness doesn't mean there's no thought. No, it means that they may arise, but they are ineffective against the purity of consciousness. Meaning that you have transcended the need to be different from this and that. You've transcended. So your beingness is returning to its original God nature. Like that. And it cannot be fooled. And it's all done. It's not the success story of a person. In fact, you realize that the personal life is contaminated with all kinds of delusions. The realization of the self is not like an accumulated knowledge, like you are some human encyclopedia of knowledge. Actually, you become totally empty. Because the knowledge of the world and human beings is completely useless to the Divine. Only love is there. Jai. When I say there, I really mean here. Okay? We use the word there. There's no there. You have to drop the T. Everything is here. There means mind.
Can I just die in this love?
Yes. The only thing that needs to die in the love is that which doesn't exist. This love and truth are one. Love and beingness are one. But it's not the flowery love, it's not so personal. We exaggerate personal love. We over and done. It's fine, it's fine. It's love also. On every level it's love. But the purity of love is synonymous with pure being. We don't have to try and so hard to be anything. It's the mind not understanding its true nature that is giving so much effort to become something that it can never be. You are already, you have to somehow realize that at some point it will come. By grace it's coming, that you will realize that you can never not be the Self. And the rest is dreaming. What I'm sharing with you, I'm not giving you a pile of information to remember. These days, when we speak, I am not imparting knowledge in a conceptual form, but in the form of grace. And so what we experience is like, you become empty. The human mind wants to become full, but often it's full of complexity. But grace comes, we say knowledge comes in the form of grace, and grace takes away the world from you. Takes away the complexities, leave you in your original nature, where you don't know, what have I done to be so happy? I don't know what I've done. I don't know what I have achieved. I've achieved nothing at all. I've not. What have you gained? I've gained nothing at all. What did you lose? I lose nothing at all. Where are you coming from? Well, from kind of everywhere. I don't know if I'm coming from, you know, but you don't have to say that. But somehow, I don't know, it's like, don't think that knowledge is something that you're going to have this big, you know, religious encyclopedia or a spiritual encyclopedia. Knowledge manifests spontaneously. It's not that you have saved up knowledge. Saved up knowledge is always late. Actually, the sage and so on, they know nothing at all. Because they see to know something is limitation. They just are. Like you just are. They're not interested in becoming. They're not even interested in being. It just is. But it is not appealing to the egoic mind. The egoic mind is a journey that has to happen, and it's also in God's book. He writes the book. The souls have to, there are all these individual souls. Individual souls don't exist actually. It's all in God's dream book. It's only God. And God is not an entity, He is the totality of all there is and can ever be. And your essence is He. He is not He, He is not she, He is not it, is beyond the human conception. Your purity cannot be defined, and it cannot be defiled also. It's only through illusion that we appear to be this and that and experience sorrow, anxiety, joy, inconsistency. It's all in the game of life. If you understand why it is playing like that, and that everything is to help you to grow in discernment and simplicity, if you understand this, they will not trouble you deeply. You will not fight against them. Who is going to speak?
Can I just ask okay. One thing? I feel like every moment I'm trying, I'm
every moment you're trying.
No.
Sorry?
I'm just sorry.
There's something that feel that you have to make effort to be true. And in a way sometimes it is true. It's part of the game. You have to be, if you're just lazy. It's also an aspect and a play of the illusory self also. So the grace generates the energy to search also. Everything is in the book. Everyone is discovering in accordance to the maturity of their being. If we understand that everyone is in their own cycle of evolution, and that it's not linear. Someone may seem to be very stuck and so on, and you may think I'm doing so well. Next minute they surpass you. You see, it's not linear like, oh yeah, you know, he's going at 5 miles an hour, yeah, we'll give for another 2 weeks. And no, you cannot do that. At some point, it's as though the waking up is the waking up out of the dream of illusions. Part of that illusion. Why God make like this? Because the story is meaningful at a certain layer. And you transcend the meaning of that layer, and then you find out like it dissolves. Maybe another layer. But at some point you're going to say, I'm not interested in any more layers. I kind of get it. That doesn't mean that you have. But at some point your soul, your heart becomes content. Like the urge, the burn to find out is somehow, it's just like dropping away. But don't say, it's dropped, that's it now. No. Don't make any conclusion about anything. Just stay empty and present. It's very nice.
Can I speak?
Yes, please.
Oh my Lord, so I'm so blessed that you're giving exercise, the prayer, so like it's you're helping us too much. Like you are giving everything and we are so blessed that I can't find words. I just want to express my gratitude because you were speaking exactly what you also you gave me this grace, because I am drawn to listen again and again for many, many, many days, maybe weeks. This short, you have a very short Sarja Express video about see everything as God, see everything as consciousness.
Yes.
And that's the highest attitude, and also you mentioned the same thing when I was listening, because you also drawn me to the Ribbu Gita, because this is the highest, and it's very hard to understand, but somehow, it's not about the understanding, but something is drawing me very, very deeply. You are drawing me, because I accepted from Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharshi that, and I know that I don't exist. Whenever I am believing something, I just take the role and going. Like, I see this, that it's going with this habit of believing that, okay, I'm the son of this, I'm the father of this one. So, but if I don't have any kind of idea, then it's free, but I have to play the role, because it's see that has to go, the saguna has to go in the way, because this is not my way, not my play, it's your play. So we have to act as we are really the good role player.
You are made to act.
Yes.
Yeah.
And and I would like to ask, please bless my blessing all the time. If I can ask, but please bless my heart to be so open to. Because you are already opening to this highest kind of understanding, not mental, heart understanding too. Because I'm really seeing that everything is God. But please let me be live fully, breathe fully, see fully, be fully without me at all. So like I'm just let me don't exist.
Yes. This is the Lord brought you to that level of refinement in order to make that kind of request. So if by His will He brought you that level of refinement, it means that He imparts the grace to you.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thank you. This is your grace.
And just you accept.
Thank you.
Just say thank you. Thank you for... You don't have to itemize what you thank you for. Just live with the attitude of gratitude and say thank you.
Mm.
And in everything that comes, you are the untouched one. That's not an attitude, oh, I am the untouched. No, you see, actually, there's in the exercise, the Just Be exercise is really revealing this. You see? You have to calculate, just keep the attention in beingness. Starve the mind of its nutrient that keeps on producing delusions by holding the attention in beingness. And that might seem to be forceful, yes it is in the beginning, because it takes some force to counteract years of, you know, false, you know, practices and delusions. So you hold it there. And actually, while you're doing it, is you're training the mind to be in the heart. We have not done it. So the mind became like a spoiled child. It just what he wanted to do, and then you say, come and sit down. He just laughs at you. You can make me sit down. Make me sit down. That's how arrogant it will come.
Mm.
So you can't say, okay, listen, you sit down. He says, laugh at you. You have no power, because you are saying to the mind, sit down. is also personal and is also mind. So you don't have the power. When you hold to the sense of being, and then you see initially, you feel the potency and the arrogance, the restlessness and the habit of the mind, and you see that you as a person have no power against him now. He's too wild. Where the child is ruling the parent. Now the parent is not the true parent. The parent until now is a kind of false parent, which has been the ego is trying to control its own delusion. But when you hold into the sense of being and the life, the grace of God has been preparing you for that capacity, for that ability to hold the attention here, even though it's the reflex is to go back into the noise and so you keep doing, say, persist. And gradually, you see, when I break up the contemplation time, so do 5 minutes or 7 minutes first, and then 10 minutes, not 10 minutes to break it up. So you feel these spaces that gradually the intensity of the mind noise is lifting. And why is it lifting? It's because you're holding in beingness, and at a certain point it will rebel. But its rebelliousness will not serve it. It just gradually comes under the sway of grace and it gets anchored because the mind wants to. Its true desire is to come back to the heart. But it cannot control its own bad behavior. So it needs a higher authority. And that authority comes from the grace of God to impart to the seeker of truth again. You just sit, do this thing. And it's not that you're going to sit, yes, but I tried it and this, and it has no, beingness has no story. It has no time frame. Beingness doesn't talk about yesterday and last year. And no. It's so pure. So no concept can really live in him, really. But then, you see, the immature being, the immature soul, is afraid of the beingness initially because it's an addict, and its addiction is to have identity and go and create all kinds of things. So when it doesn't get that, it's going to be really angry. But it's okay, just hold that and don't go into the story. And gradually, you see, because everyone in the world is searching for the same thing, they just don't know. Everyone who is living in the mode of personhood or ego is a restless soul. That's why we always want the next thing and the next thing, because you are never satisfied. It wants the next experience and the next experience, next. Mm-hmm. And that's the agitatedness, it cannot be content. Why? God make it like that. Actually, it's a blessing, because if you could be content with illusory things and delusion, you would be really lost. So the fact that at some point your life is not working is on the verge of grace, because I realize you don't have time to keep projecting. You somehow become desperate, and this desperate bring you to the cusp, bring you to the door of nirvana. So everything, no one is forgotten by God. Everyone is in there, you know, and you can feel like I'm dying, and you're up. You can feel I'm so up. So this arrogance, humility, these are very powerful forces, but it's all in the dynamics of God. He's written the greatest book of life, living book. And so it's like that. If you go to watch a movie, and everyone in the movie is smiling, you'd walk out before 10 minutes. Because the human mind needs contrast, it wants the adventure. It wants a car chase. It wants a sad moment, and then a glad moment, and then, you know, sort of excitement, and then disappointment, and then a death, and a life, and a birth, and this. And it loves the adventure of the diversity of the manifestation. It's addicted to action, concepts. And so we have all our dreams all over the place, and you cannot even sustain your single dream. Tomorrow you dream another dream, and like this, it's just going everywhere. So the soul is restless, and what it's really searching for is rest and peace. That's why when anyone finds this peace, they know it. Even they may feel, all my life I did not know peace, but when it comes, you know it, and it's the most natural thing for you. But until you are somehow graced into being ready to receive it, then we'll imagine it's going to come through a good job or fame or having a family or getting married or having a holiday home somewhere or being rich or whatever. We give all these things, or jumping off a mountain without a parachute, or whatever you want to do. The soul is looking for something, but the thing that it keeps getting and seeing is not this. This is why I show you that the ancient meditators, the sadhus of ancient time, they used to say this thing, neti neti. Everything the mind produced, they see, no, it's not that. It's not this. What about this? They could never say what it is, but they could only say what it's not. Because what it is what they are. We have appetite for the things of the world for a while. And that while can be, we don't know how to estimate time. We don't know.
Everything must combust into spirit, and I feel that's really the only true indicator.
The only what?
The only true inner indicator that we know when it is not from the spirit, and we know when it is.
Mm.
And I feel this is just what you're gracing us to combust fully.
Yes, yes. Because when we don't, when you're not connected here, every kind of thing fascinates your head. And they can give no real value to you. It's just information, sensations, momentary, transient, illusory. The facts of human being are fiction, mostly. Highly subjective in their interpretation, projections, highly deceitful and manipulative also. No one should be shocked by that.
I just keep opening myself to that, to fully combust into spirit.
Invite it.
Invite
it. Approach it. Ask. It's not one micromillimeter apart from you. Ask. My Lord, please rid me of ego. Combine me with you, merge me with you, absorb me in truth. I don't even know what it means. It's just a sense I have. I can't follow my mind. I don't know what to believe in. But if there is an ultimate truth, please absorb me in that. This is something. This is power.
Amen.
It's by the grace of the Supreme. We're even sitting down here. I wasn't long just down the road in Mario's shop, actually.
Yeah.
Looking at some old things. Isn't it?
Yeah.
And I said,
yeah. Try an armchair now.
Oh, I was trying, sitting in an armchair. And she, I tried it first, then Krish went and sat in it, and she said, Krish, this armchair is very, very nice. And I said, yeah, I tried it because I'm looking for an armchair for come to Risha place. Because she asked me, we're trying to find chairs. I said, no, I have a lot of them. So we're looking like that. I said, oh, but she's not far from here, because you call and find out.
Yeah.
if we can stop and I can look at the space you have to see if we can bring a chair. And maybe, of course, we stop, have a cup of tea, and then we come back. And look what happened. Whose idea was this? That it unfold like this. I don't know anything. I just see as it unfold. And I say, this is the grace of God that we, you know, we are here sitting together, and we're not talking about football. We're not talking about, yeah, the market and this and Kasanya. No, we are speaking about this. In this.
It's a seeming, a little bit of misunderstanding, because you are talking many times about netty-netty. But in case of this see everything as God, you are talking that whatever arising in you, thought, feelings, whatever, just see as coming, because it's true, it's coming from God. Is it necessary to dismiss or just accept it? Okay, this is God's will, so accept it. But
there's a time for both.
Ah.
It depends on the orientation of your being in any moment. There's a time to look and say, whatever it is, neti neti. Why neti neti? It means that it's a phenomenon arising inside, and it depends upon a witness independent of it to recognize that this is something appearing. So it cannot be the original thing. It comes, it appears, and if there's interest, it hangs around for a while. And you see, but whatever it is that comes, however subtle, however great, it's only a visitor. And so you say, but I'm here to see it. Whatever it is that says I, and I say it is the formless witness, is it shows up in this. Whatever appears in the sky is only a visitor. Whether it's a rainbow or a star, everything comes and goes. But the immensity of the space is untouched. That space is like our being. You're looking from here. But sometimes we're looking with a mixture of an idea we have about ourselves in the phenomenal sense. They said, but that also can be seen. Huh? Oh. Yeah. My world and my problems and aspirations, my pain is seen, and the one who is suffering the pain is seen also. By what is it seen? By what? He said, don't just think, look. Can the seer be seen like this? So if the seer can be seen, must be another subtle seer. And it just in that kind of introspection, all this clutter just dissolves. What remains? If something remains, that will also be seen. Can that which can testify and say all this is illusory, can that itself be seen? Where does this introspection lead? Everything just dissolves into. And what sees this also? So it doesn't keep multiplying, it just contract into nothingness. And even nothingness is seen. By what is it seen? Don't invent. Be very clean. By what is it seen? It cannot be said by what is it seen. The fact is that whatever it is, that can be seen. This seer cannot be seen. Can the seer be itself an object of perception? If it is an object of perception, what is the subject? If you say, well, there's no independent subject, who is speaking this? So it just cancels out all the shapes that are created in the mind. What is left behind? Frustration. No. Indescribable peace and joy. That which sees all these things, what's the evidence of it? Can you photograph it? Can it be shown? No. So don't get into the habit of talking about this with every Tom, Dick and Harry you meet. Don't go and talk about people. This is you keep looking, 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 until the very idea you have of yourself as a looker phenomenally, that also collapses. Then you may ask, then what? Say, I won't tell you, find out. Find out. That is grace. It is the grace of God that is initiating that impulse to look and to guide your looking.
And he is looking.
Hmm?
And he is looking.
Yes. Good, good. Maybe enough for now.
Thank you.
A long cup of tea. Yeah. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you.
Grateful for all of us. Yes.
So what remains now? What's left? Is there any autobiography of that which is left now? If you go to your mind, it's going to be willing to create something about it. But also netting it, cannot be that. Also, from the mind will come some itch, like it's itching because it wants the food of phenomenal interaction. But that's also watched. Can you bear the your own emptiness? The mind is going. The mind is biting its fingernails. But that's also just you can watch that. Can you bear this? Because that's also important. Because you may find yourself twitching. Something's twitching. Oh, I'm trying to suppress the mind. Say no. Let them go. You are the witness of this. Just, you see, so it's going to take some subtlety, some persistence, aided by the grace of God. Because without aided by the grace of God, goodbye. You have to stay with that. Be respectful of the presence of God. This level of introspection is itself devotion and generated out of the love of God. And there is a saying, he who is in search of himself finds God. And he who is in search of God finds himself. Same. But not himself personally. Watch out, not yourself personally. The person is the price that will be paid. Who will pay the price? I can't say. Total joy. Total happiness.
Tranquilness. Trust.
May the essence of what we share be stabilized in you. Because mind will try to fight against it, but because it's brought by grace, you remember that. You will not be swept away by it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.